We're going to start this episode out with a big happy Nerdfighter birthday.
Woohoo!
Woo! I think there are several birthdays coming up, but today specifically is Arden's birthday when we're recording.
Happy birthday
to everyone, specifically Arden.
Hope you get a lot of Kirby's teeth, you know.
Yes.
They pulled my tooth out this week and they didn't even offer for me to keep it. They said they were going to keep it in the office for whatever. I guess
for science.
They're going to study it. Of what you shouldn't do to your teeth. Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Peyton.
And this week we're recording a little bit later than usual. Oops, our bad. Welcome to...
Relate this.
I do relate to it. I relate to frequently being late to things. I relate to not being prepared. I relate to having made the moment like an hour and a half ago, but only just pulling it up now. Here we go. We're going to start this week's tweets off. If you are just joining us for the first time, you can follow all the tweets that we are talking about on Twitter at RetweetThisPod. There will be a moment posted with all these tweets in it. But the first one is from someone named Jody, and it just says, anyone who had a Tumblr account from 2010 to 2014 has a master's degree in social media.
Yeah. Tragic, but yes.
Very tragic.
I hate it.
If you want to know more about the internet fandom worlds that we were associated with, you should join our Patreon. Because we just recorded our July episode last night, and it was all about fandoms and being involved, like, online and being, like, big fans of stuff. Not online, too, like, when we were younger. So,
yeah,
you can find that there to learn more about those days.
I think it was, besides us being stuck in traffic, which you can also hear on the Patreon.
That's the best one we've done. That's the best episode
this
of anything
is my second. No, my favorite, we did a video reaction to Hank's Team Trees video. That's a close second for me because it's so demented. Like, I hate that video.
That was your plan. That was your idea.
Yeah, I like to torture us a little bit. But I think, so as far as good Patreon content, I think it's traffic, just because there was like a traffic Karen and we almost got in a fight with her. Like, it was interesting. And then there was Team Trees, and then this is a third. Well, then we also cut Emily's hair.
There's a lot that goes on over on the Patreon. Quit spoiling things. If anyone hasn't joined,
you
can join from $2 a month and get all of that exquisite content.
Yeah, it's tragic, but very entertaining. Anyway.
On the July 20th, I tweeted and I said, Olympics bed TikTok has the same energy as NYU boxed lunch TikTok.
Yes.
Can't explain it, but
it
does. Also,
it's like you're in like an elite establishment and you're getting this weird thing, and it also involves cardboard. Like, I see the connection.
And everyone is isolated but having the same experience. So,
yes. It's like your whole For You page is different people posting it.
Yep. And like, the same people are all watching it on TikTok. Then we're being like, ooh, I saw Norway got 9 people on their bed and broke it. So, can you break yours? Is very much like, right. I saw What's-His-Face from the other hall got watermelon chicken sandwich. Did you get it? Like.
Yes.
Also, Alana? Is her name Alana? The Team USA female rugby player that is, like, carrying Olympic TikTok?
I think so, yes.
She, to me, is to Olympics TikTok what the 7-foot-tall lesbian was to women's college basketball TikTok a few months ago.
That makes perfect sense.
Does it not? Sedona. Yeah, her name was Sedona. That was the basketball girl.
Yeah. And now she has like a little tiny girlfriend and they make videos together.
Yes. She's literally like four feet tall and like 7 feet tall. Like, they're like crazy opposites. It's funny.
Yeah.
Also on July 20th, I tweeted and said, is salsa a soup?
I mean, if we're going down that, is relish a soup?
No. Relish doesn't have as much of, like, a liquid base. Like, relish is, like...
Well, it depends on the relish.
Maybe.
I mean, it depends on the salsa, too. Some is, like, super ground up, and some is really watery.
I got a lot...
But relish is only one ingredient as far as the chunks are just pickles. So I see how it would be different with tomatoes and onions and peppers. I would say it's a soup slash condiment.
See, Someone named Nicole responded and said, correct me if I'm wrong, I do not know Spanish, but doesn't salsa translate to sauce? So I think it's safe to say that this one's not soup. I said, is sauce just small portion soup?
Is yeah, sauce... Yeah, maybe that's why it's called sauce.
Do they come from, like, the same root? Not an epidemiologist. What's the word?
A linguist?
Well, linguist works, but what's it called when you... Etymology.
Yes.
That word.
If you're an epidemiologist, can you please tell us if salsa is soup?
I also like that out of nowhere, Tyler Oakley responded to this and said yes.
Oh, I didn't see that, but that makes sense to me too.
Well, there's a
the exact sort of tweet that would like attract him.
There's an ongoing joke on his Twitch channel about whether or not vinegar is a sauce. And so I think it's just sort of the same energy.
Hank tweeted on the 22nd and said, I was briefly helping the guy who was fixing my AC right now, and it took me about 30 seconds to cut my finger on a piece of metal. Anyway, he's lovely and very skilled, and I've left him to do his work.
This gives very strong dad energy, like helping the handyman.
Yeah.
My dad does that.
I would watch from a distance because I want to see what they're doing because I'm like nosy and bossy, but I definitely would not get close or help. I would just observe.
I would stay out of the way because I would be too scared that I would, like, they would think I'm weird or they would feel like I'm, like, watching over them because I don't trust them or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't trust people, so that's correct.
Well, I don't either, but I don't want them to know that.
I tweeted on the 22nd and I said, content warning, this is about vomit, but in the vague sense. Some of y'all puke in kitchen bowls because... I saw someone tweeting about this and was like, can you believe we all puked in a bowl and then ate popcorn out of the same bowl, like, a week later?
I've seen that same thing going around. I've seen that same sentiment going around. And I knew someone growing up that had a puke bowl, but I did not have a puke bowl.
I didn't either. That's what I don't understand is there's so many options besides a puke bowl. And I realize, obviously, most of us would say toilet puking is the number one option.
Mm-hmm.
But... sometimes you're sick enough to where you need something to, like, sit near you and you're, like, lay down or sit on the couch or whatever, but when you're not near the bathroom.
Or if you're really sick enough, you need the toilet plus something else.
Right. That has happened to me when I had salmonella one time.
Oh.
But I think... I don't understand why a bowl. Do you have a bathroom trash can? Do you have two, like, a double-lined bag, like... little trash bag or Walmart sack or Ziploc bag, like something you don't have.
Did you just call a grocery bag a sack?
I don't know. Maybe.
You said a Walmart sack.
Oh, yeah. I say Walmart sack.
That's a bag.
That's the same thing.
No. A sack, I would say, is trash, like, bag. A sack of potatoes. Like, a sack is like...
That's the same.
Canvas.
No. I mean, that could be a bag, too.
Well, yes, a sack is a type of bag, but a sack is not that type of bag.
I think that they mean the same thing. But anyways, my moral of the story is, why are y'all puking in bowls when there's a lot of other options? I also have a traumatizing childhood story to go along with this.
How graphic is it? If I could
have
a
moment to... Oh, it's not graphic.
Okay.
I have anxiety, and one of my symptoms that is feeling like I need to throw up. So... as a child, I hadn't put two and two together that it was anxiety, but when I was at a sleepover and I missed my mom, I would say that I needed to throw up because I had separation anxiety from my mom. So I like have this vivid memory of being at my friend Andrea's house and waking up her mom at probably like 2 a.m. and being like, Martha, I'm gonna throw up. And her saying, throw up in the bathtub. That was her response. Not the toilet, the bathtub. And she was like, just throw up in the bathtub, I'll clean it later. And I cried and made my mom come pick me up.
That's very on brand. That gave me a flashback to another memory that I'm not going to go into too much detail of. But one time, my sister and I did have a friend sleepover who did get very ill and threw up in more than just the bathtub.
That's upsetting. The last time I've gotten sick in that way was when you came to Kansas, and I was violently ill the day you left, and I don't know why or what caused it.
It was those trash fries. Sick. It was that plate of
probably
fries covered in goo.
Ugh, yeah. And they were like one of my favorite nasty, like, junk foods, And then I never, like, ate them again before we moved because...
It's fair.
It was a bad scene. And then Brent had to drive Emily to the airport. You all know that story.
Hank tweeted on July 24th and said, "Don't mind me, just spending my Saturday afternoon drilling the tops out of perfume bottles." And it's pictures of two totally not prepackaged bottles of perfume from a famous musician pouring into a larger bottle. And then he responded to himself and said, "I'm not saying I smell bad right now, but I smell a lot." And then he responded to himself again and said, "How do you wash perfume off of skin?"
Yeah. And he also replied again and said, "This is the last time this will ever be a P4A perk because..." Somewhere he said,
He said, "Certain important
ingredients..." Oh, his ingredients. Patio smells like... will smell like it forever.
"And certain important ingredients to Stonk seem to have been discontinued."
The just thinking about this, that he had to, like, go on eBay and pay triple the price to get some discontinued Adam Levine cologne is so good.
That is really good.
I just realized that you can see the reflection in that perfume bottle. I'm, like, trying to see... Anyway, I'm really creepy. That's what we used to do... If you've ever been a Dan and Phil stan, whenever Dan was, like, not seen in public for 2 years, you know what it's like to have to zoom in on reflections.
We don't have to go back to that time.
It was a dark time.
It was.
I tweeted on the 24th, and I said, "All Nerdfighters should move to Colorado." And I just wanted to talk about this because Nerdfighters, Coloradoes, whatever, are such little gatekeepers. It's so weird.
And a lot of them aren't even from there, like, originally.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, "I moved here 3 years before it got quite as popular, so..."
Right. They're like, "Don't tell people that." I'm like, do you think me tweeting that randomly is good? People are going to see that and thousands of people are going to... Like, you think I have that sort of influence? I mean, that's, like, kind of a compliment. That I can just make a horde of people move to Colorado.
I like how you can turn people, like, getting stupid mad over a dumb tweet into a compliment.
People from Colorado, they'll be like, "I'm a Colorado native. I'm not a transplant." Like, I've heard that several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's irritating because it doesn't make anyone better than anyone. Like, because you happen to be born in Colorado, you think you're, like, super cool. Like, Colorado is great. But come on.
It's funny because people here do that too, but, like, to a different kind of extent. Like, if you say you're from, like, if I met someone from far away and they asked me where I'm from, I'd be like, "Oh, I'm from Georgia." And they'd be like, "What part?" I'd be like, "Metro Atlanta." I don't live in Metro Atlanta, but I'm within an hour of the city, and Atlanta is my closest city, and, like, people have in their mind, "Oh, I know what part of the state that is."
Right.
But if you say to anyone relatively close to Atlanta, "I'm from Atlanta," they'll be like, "What high school did you go to?" And if you didn't go to, like, an Atlanta public school high school, you were not from Atlanta. And, like, I agree, like, Cumming is not Atlanta. Gwinnett County is not Atlanta. Cobb County, Marietta is not Atlanta. But, like, if someone's like, "Oh, I'm from Atlanta," and they're like, "What high school did you go to?" They're like, "Brookwood." And they're like, "You're not from Atlanta."
It's so weird. So I said the best response to that is to be like, "Oh, you never left your hometown?" Mm. like turn it around.
I'm trying to.
You've left.
I did leave.
Just came back for a while.
Yeah, it's fine. I tweeted.
You don't gatekeep Noonan, I'm sure.
You know what? I'm going to start because it's really freaking crowded here, but I'm only going to gatekeep it from rich people who want to build large subdivisions. No more of those. Get out.
Okay, gatekeeping from land developers.
I will allow affordable apartments to be built here, and that's about it.
Nerdfighters, we're going to Noonan.
On the 25th, which was Sunday night, I tweeted, "Work happens every single week, huh?" And it's a picture of a crying cat, but it's like the chubby one that's like crying on the couch. And it has 5,000 likes, so relatable mood.
I like that it looks like it's laying on a heating pad, because that's me.
Me too. I like that somebody responded to it and was like, "I would be sad too if I was that fat of a cat. Like, that's a bad owner." And I'm like, it's a Photoshop meme.
You should have been like, "That's my cat and it's very happy."
I should have been like, "That's me."
That's a photo of me.
I'm offended.
It's like they couldn't tell it was fake with the crying eyes.
No.
I mean, like, who... the blanket says love too. Cute. It's an aesthetic. I tweeted on the 26th and I said, what's the fake name you give people when you don't want to tell them your real name? I'm Paige. And I would like to know everyone's name. Maybe that can be the homework for the week.
Yeah, tell us your name and the epidemiology of your name.
Yeah.
I'm Emma, derived from Emily, from where I start when someone asks me my name and I start answering and then I realize that it's a skeevy situation and I should not be honest. It switches to Emma.
Yes. And you have to stick with the same one so you remember what you've said. And that's what I've learned, too, about, like, giving people, like, for whatever reason, a fake phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Is you should just go up one on the last digit so that if they ask you to repeat it, you can repeat it.
Oh, I have to go down on one, down one digit, because my last digit's a 9. I mean, I guess I could do a 0.
Either way, it needs to be something you can remember, because I've heard of people, like, especially, like, a dude, if they think you gave them a fake number, mm-hmm. they'll be, like, they'll ask it back, and they'll say it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to correct them. Which is, like, I know this is, like, a lot of mental gymnastics, but I'm anxious, and this is exactly the kind of situation I want to be prepared for.
You should be prepared for it. Also, it used to be a thing for people to give out the 678-999-8212 number.
Uh-huh.
The Kiss Me Through the Phone number. Which is funny, because around here, you don't catch it at first, because, like, my area code is 678. Like, it's a Atlanta area code. So it's just funny. Someone could give it to me and be like 678-999. Like, it would take me a second to catch on to it.
Yeah. My phone number is never an area code of where I live. So it probably sounds like I'm giving a fake number always.
It's funny because after a while, like, growing up, all your friends have the same area code. And then after a while, nobody's cell phone number matches anymore. Like, my friends' phone numbers are from all over the place because no one's from the same area anymore.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's how it is with anyone we meet, because none of us are from where we're living. So it's like chaos. Chaos phone numbers.
Hank tweeted 21 hours ago and said, I have reached the point in writing my will where you get to decide which people get individual items, and I'm not being reined in properly. So Matt Damon is getting my bobblehead Johns. I hadn't read this tweet until right now.
I have not written my will. I should. Brent has a will because they have to for work, which is sad.
Am I supposed to have a will? I don't, like, own anything. I have some, like, money, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a parent or a spouse, preferably a parent, that if you, like, died on vacation with your spouse, someone else, like, if someone who you're not with all the time,
mm-hmm.
Like, my dad is the, I don't know what it's called, but, like, if something happened to me and to Brent, my dad would get our bank account stuff. Like, he's our person on all of our accounts. It's like
the manager of the estate or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not a will. But now that we own, like, a property, I probably should make a will.
Okay, this is my verbal will. The money gets split between my nieces and nephews. There's not that much of it to go around, but, you know, split it up anyway. My Nintendo Switch can go to, I don't know, who wants it?
we're going to take up biddings for Emily's possession. Who wants my Hankler Fished?
I have a Hankler Fished Absolutely Remarkable Thing and Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. So, like, those could be valuable, right?
Anything that I own that no one I know wants, I will let the Nerd Fighters have it. If you're a Nerd Fighter and no one else claims it, it's yours.
You can just come up in my room and just take what you want at that point.
Yeah.
Peyton gets my Twitter account.
Thank you. I also asked Hank if I could have his TikTok. So I'm hoping he wrote that down.
He should give it to me just to make you angry.
To spite me, yeah. like, from the grave. I would not be surprised.
And I would just be sitting there, like, too terrified to do anything.
That's the end of Retweet This, when Hank dies suddenly and leaves his TikTok to Emily.
Welcome to Retweet This, where we talk about Twitter and Hank Green's death.
Yeah, sorry, Hank. Hopefully that's in, like, 100 years, once we're, like, half robot and we live a long time.
Something like that.
I want my consciousness to be implanted into something else.
What do you want it to be implanted
into? Honestly, whatever's going to last the longest. Like, if my consciousness has to be implanted in something, and then once that thing is gone, my consciousness is gone, I want to be put in whatever, like, put my consciousness in a plastic water bottle, because apparently they don't break down. So put it in the plastic.
I will be a styrofoam to-go box.
Good. That sounds great. I'll be a disposable water bottle. You'll be a to-go box. Two pieces of trash in life and in death.
I love it.
It is now time for the best part of the podcast, which is patron tweets. Woo!
Applause, 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 applause. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We're always appreciative to all of y'all. Special shout outs to Nate, Bill, Margaret Last Comet, Rachel Kelly Artemis, Hank, Kimmy, Kara, Elin, Ruthie, Spencer. According to all known laws of aviation, there is no way a bee should be able to fly. Its rings are too small to get its fat low. Adia, Molly, Sophia, Sarah, and welcome DFTBA Rachel. I almost called you DFTB Woo-hoo! Rachel. Don't forget to be Rachel.
Don't forget to be Rachel. Now we have two of them. Don't forget which Rachel it is.
We got Swifty Rachel and we got Don't Forget Rachel.
We got Nerd Fighter, but they're both Nerd Fighters. Is DFTBA Rachel, please let us know if you're also a Swifty.
Uh-oh. The battle of the Swifty.
We'll never tell you apart.
My niece started making up a story the other day about a magic cat who could talk and its name was Rachel.
I had a cat named Rachel.
You had a cat named Rachel?
Yes.
I had a cat named Rambles.
Before I was allergic. Rambles?
Rambles.
Rambles is a lot cuter of a name for a cat than Rachel.
Don't tell Rachel.
I had a cat named Rachel that was orange, like an orange tabby cat. Mm-hmm. And I was probably 4 or 5. And then it was really vicious. And then my grandma took it over for a while. But then it like ran across the street and lived in a barn with a bunch of other feral cats. Because I'm pretty sure it was a feral cat.
Oh, good.
And it lived there and I saw it a lot. But it was, like, happy, and people, like, went over there and fed them and stuff. It was, like, a big cat family, which is, like...
You know what? That's what I want. If I was a cat, I would want to live in a big, happy, feral cat family.
Honestly, me too.
Either that, or I would be one of the...
listeners are.
Either that, or I would be one of the cats that has convinced humans to, like, worship me and do everything for me.
I want to be a mix of both. I want to be feral, but then when I, like, emerge from the barn, I want people to, like... fawn over me. So you can kind of choose which way you want that day to go.
I want to be the Hannah Montana of cats.
Yeah. The best of both barns.
There's a better pun in there somewhere, but I'm not going to dig for it. Anyway.
Me neither. My brain's broken. I passed a kidney stone, I think. So I'm feeling good. I don't know what it was. So that's what I'm dealing with mentally.
On that note, Rachel tweeted on the 21st and said, the Bo Burnham Bezos songs are going to hit my Spotify Wrapped this year, aren't they? Yeah.
I quite enjoy them as well.
Same. I like the one honestly, where it cuts off in the middle of the scream.
Yeah. I listen to that while I walk the boys a lot. Like, I don't know why. I've also been, what songs have you been repeating recently?
You know what? Let me check my Last FM and let you know.
I've been repeat listening to You and I, the cover of Lady Gaga's song by Ben Platt. Mm. I've really enjoyed it. And I've listened to Penelope Scott, and I've listened to a lot of Ariana Grande, which is very common for me.
I haven't had necessarily any particular songs. I don't know. It's not showing me these in order of, like, what I've listened to most. That's weird. But I've been, well, I have been mixing it up. I've been just letting Spotify pick, like, my daily mixes and just putting them on for, like, 6 hours at a time. And then I'll listen through headphones on my computer, and then someone will come in my office and I'll take my headphones out and it'll keep playing music and I won't realize it. And then it'll be playing, like, 5 hours later and I'm like, there's no telling what this is doing to my algorithm or my Spotify Wrapped, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I've also been hitting a pretty hard folklore phase again lately, so... There's also a playlist that I've really been into. It's called Hot Girl Misfit Summer, and it is 7 hours long, and it's, like, it's all female-led, or I think there might be some, like, non-binary, but, like, no men, pop rock, a little bit of pop punk, angsty. It's good. It's a fun playlist. I listen to it when I run a lot. I put it on shuffle, and it's so long that I don't get a lot of the same songs back to back.
Sarah tweeted on the 20th. Oh, wait, you already read that one.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
It just goes with
that. I saw Spotify, and I was like, oh, you've read that. Sarah said, please don't judge me based on what I listen to on Spotify. Specifically, don't look at the names of the playlist. I thought it was funny at the time. Okay, thanks, bye. Kissy face.
Yeah, I've got some questionably named, I didn't mean to do that. Questionably named Spotify playlists. I have Taylor Swift songs as show tunes. It starts with No Body, No Crime and Cell Block Tangle. And then Welcome to New York and Good Morning Baltimore. And it continues down that same vibe of like a Taylor Swift song and a Broadway song that has the same essence. So that's a solid playlist. I have one that's just called Cuffed Jeans Emotional Breakdown Edition, which is like having a full crisis over identity and sexuality and religion and like everything else. So that's 1 hour and 10 minutes long. There's one called Songs That Give My Ears a Hug. That one's soft and wholesome. And then I have Scream Singing While Crying in the Car. So yeah, you know, the normal. Rachel, this one takes a little bit of backstory, but Hank tweeted something about the COO of Complexly, as in Chief Operating Officer. And someone responded and said, what the F is a COO? And Rachel said, Chief Operating Officer, or the sound that a dove makes. And then she quote tweeted herself. Sorry, checking pronouns. she quote tweeted herself with art that she made of a pigeon in, or a dove, or a little bird, but wearing business shoes and holding a briefcase and has a little name tag that says Koo, and it's wearing a tie and it just says business.
It's very cute.
I don't know why this brought me so much joy, but I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I love it. The reply really got me. The sound a dove makes. Perfect. Top tier. Kimmy tweeted on the 22nd and said, if I dislike your tweet, it's not because I dislike it. It's because I'm dumb. I don't have the dislike button, but I'm ready for it.
I heard that they're not actually going to let people see that their tweets are disliked, that they're just going to use it in their ratio. And like, if the tweet gets enough dislikes, they're going to quit putting it on people's timelines. Which feels like very subtle, petty bullying, and I will be participating.
We just like mass dislike people's tweets, like decide on it as a community, and then all of their tweets just don't show up.
Is that how we cancel people now? We just mass dislike their tweets?
Yes. We're mass disliking Hank's tweets as soon as we have the capability.
Aw, come on. He trended on Twitter this week.
That's the scary part. We need to take him down a level. That was very scary for me.
Minecraft,
just, like, minding Minecraft my own business
are something else. Like, they're like K-pop level of wildness.
I feel like it's the same people.
There is definitely,
I feel like,
overlap.
It's the K-poppies are the Minecraft Twitter stans.
I feel like Minecraft Twitter stans, Minecraft YouTube stans tend to be younger.
I used to watch Minecraft stuff a little bit.
I used to watch Joey Graceffa play it. He's the only person I ever really watched play it. And he would say, Anya, on the end of everything. Like, oh, no, I can't think of anything. But he always said, oh, goodness gracianius. And I still say that now. I call Gracie my goodness gracianius sometimes. And my mom was like, what are you saying to her? And I'm like, nothing. There's too many layers to explain. As promised last week, Nate gets 2 tweets. The first one says, Twitter is a great place to find an unmatched, caring community of people and then communicate in the least efficient way possible while getting intermittently mad at each other.
True.
Very true. And then taking a totally different approach to tweeting, he says, that's some hitting, the NBC Olympics commentator describing this tennis match as well as every other tennis match.
I thought you said clownitator.
I could have, you know. It's been a long day. I had to talk today.
Nate, we just improved your tweet. You're welcome.
The Olympics clownitators. Clownitators?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's us.
Yeah, we're the clownitators. We should have commentated the Olympics.
We really should have. Petition for us to go to Paris to do it next 4 years.
It's specifically only broadcast on Twitter.
It's on.
And it's only people who don't know anything else about, like, we don't know about sports and they don't know about sports.
We
should just
do
vague.
The Olympics for non-sports fans. Because the only sport I know anything about in the Olympics, I feel like, is gymnastics. Just because I went through a hardcore Olympic gymnastics fan stage in, like, 2012. And my sister also grew up doing gymnastics, so I went to, like, a bunch of meets and stuff.
I think we should commentate the Puppy Bowl.
Absolutely.
Adia tweeted on the 24th and said, I was explaining all the bird accounts on here to an IRL, and he went, oh, I thought you meant Hank just dressed up as a goose.
I mean, he would.
He's dressed up as a minotaur, hasn't he? So
yeah. No, that was Steve.
Oh, right. That wasn't Hank.
That wasn't
Hank. Hank, maybe the next tour can, Honk Green can,
make a little cameo.
Sponsor the tour.
Don't give him any ideas about a bird costume, because you know he will get a freakishly realistic pelican beak, and he'll get it from, like, a fursuit maker, so it, like, opens and closes with his jaw.
He will get full furry costume.
Oh.
Are furries that are birds?
Are they featheries?
They have to be, because I think reptile furries are scalies.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway.
So Sophia tweeted and said, whenever I talk to an adult for the first time, they always tell me, take a deep breath, sweetie. No, ma'am, this is just how I am.
That's a bit too relatable, because my mom always says that.
I know, I included it just for you, but something about the no ma'am also just, no ma'am, this is just how I am.
Yeah, when I'm anxious, I talk so fast, and I can't even catch my breath.
I noticed myself today, I had to give a presentation at work. I say presentation, it's the info session I give, like, at least once a week. But my face, I could feel my face getting hot, and I could feel myself getting red, and I was like, I'm not breathing, and I couldn't stop myself, like, I was fully autopiloting presenting, but I couldn't stop myself to take a deep enough breath to stop my, like, cheeks and ears from getting hot, and I knew I was turning red, and it was just an embarrassing situation all the way around, and then, like, it's not like I'm nervous, like, I know this material, it's just oxygen, it just quit coming into my head. Artemis tweeted yesterday and said, walking by some rooms and I see this. And it's a picture of, it's a far back picture of a windowsill. And when you get really close to the windowsill, there's a teeny tiny rubber duck in it. And they said, suddenly I'm reminded of the time that I tormented a friend with rubber ducks. I think they want revenge now. I want to know more about this person that you tormented with rubber ducks, because I feel like there's got to be a backstory there. And I'm extremely curious.
Yeah, Artemis, please McDickles the story of why you tormented someone with ducks and how that was accomplished, because
because we need ideas.
Yeah. Hank's cursed like is from Travis McElroy, my favorite person. And Travis was said, you know, he was signing books and he was like, I'm going to draw a fish on yours, Hank. And then he said, I can't draw a fish, so I drew a butt. And I would love to see the signature once Hank receives that.
I love it. Spoiler alert. It's what just if it's a pair legs?
Oh my gosh. Travis, I hope you made that joke. Please tell me you're into Nerdfighter lore enough to have made that.
So this tweet sent to us by Jimmy with hashtag McDickles hits a little too close to home. And it just says, here's the plan. We reply guy bigger accounts until they follow back. Then we post tweets specifically targeted at them to retweet until we gain a following ourselves.
Uh-huh.
I don't appreciate being read like a book. Thank you. I just like attention that I control.
I definitely do the first part, for sure, is replying to people until they follow me. Like, I'm good at that. Targeted tweets for them to retweet. I guess I could tweet Bud his legs or something and get him to retweet me. But anytime he interacts with my tweets, it's always random ones that I had no intention of him seeing.
Yeah, a lot of mine are. But there are sometimes I tweet things and I'm like, I get the vibe that Hank would like this, and then he does. And I'm like, There we go.
It's a master plan. I definitely don't know why he interacts with some of our tweets, because I'll just be like, I really like asparagus. And Hank will be like, lol.
I'll be like, wow, I look hot as a man. And he's like, so do I. And I'm like, this wasn't about you, Green.
And then we'll like tweet openly about him or like something he does. And he'll ignore it. make it make sense.
He's doing it on purpose.
What is it? My mom always said, what's the opposite of playing hard to get? Like, I'm not like playing hard to get, but it's like you almost want to, like, be the opposite of what you think they would like. I would say something I know you'll dislike because I want you to dislike it.
That's some reverse psychology.
Yeah. My mom called it playing hard to want or hard to like or something like that.
I'm not playing. I just am hard to want and like.
I just am hard to like, Mom.
This next tweet is sent by Arden. Happy birthday. With hashtag McDickles, and it's a dog doing the laundry. And it's very sweet. I'm watching it for the first time now. I've been watching it the whole time Peyton's been trying to remember what her mom said.
I think that Oakley is smart enough to do this. He's not nice enough to do this.
Ray-Ban's nice enough to do it.
Ray-Ban is nice enough, but would not cover them in
slobber.
I think he would hand me stuff, but I don't think he would, like, drag out the basket and, like, do all of that.
He would play tug of war with all of your socks.
Oh, it's a very cute dog.
It is. I love it.
The last tweet is from Rachel, DFTBA Rachel, not Swifty Rachel. Unless DFTBA Rachel's a Swifty, please let us know. She drew a really cute drawing that I really want as a sticker or something. And it's like the little outro that they say on Sideshow Tangents. Mm-hmm. And it's just very cute. And I wanted to include it because I like it.
It's really good. I like it too.
It's cute. I could never.
Oh, me either.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to use hashtag McDiggles for any fun things you see throughout the week.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at RetweetThisPod. You can find all the tweets that we talk about there. And if you would like to be officially a part of the Clown College, you can join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/retweetthis.
Yep. And you'll hear from us next week.
Bye.
Bye. Hello and welcome to EAB for Emily's A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor review.
Hello to all of my fans. You know what I do in my free time? I don't read this book and I play Sudoku.
The real Brent is gone to work for now, and he won't be back at all today. So he's not available. So his doppelganger Emily / Brent number 2 is here.
My name is Bremily.
Try to do this review.
So I did forget which chapters are supposed to be read. So I'm going to give a general overview of what I imagine is happening in the book, because it's been so long that I don't remember where my doppelganger left off in this book. So first we read about Andy. And Andy, here's the deal with Andy. Andy is the, like, single straight white guy in the whole book. Intentionally, except for, like, pee-pee. And so all he did was talk about money, and it was kind of boring. And then April came along. And, you know, April was kind of an asshole last time. And then she did some things that seem not human, but, you know, not human. And then Miranda, we got to Miranda's chapter. Miranda is at the place and she has to do the science. And she feels unsure about the science. And so she's being sneaky because she's the smartest and best one in the book. And that's it. Thanks for coming.
That was a really great review. Arguably the best one we've ever had.
Thanks.
So this has been EAB for Emily's A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor review.
Thank you.